Melissa Harris-Perry. We're continuing our Earth Day weekend episode of The Takeaway. Now, April is National Poetry Month, and we've been hearing from some of our nation's young poets.
I am Jessica Kim. I just turned 18. And I am the current Los Angeles Youth Poet Laureate, a program supported by Beyond Baroque, as well as a 2022 National Youth Poet Laureate finalist.
Jessica is already a winner. She's representing the West Region in a program created and curated by Urban Word and is vying for the top spot as the National Youth Poet Laureate. She'll find out at a big event on May 20th at the Kennedy Center in D.C.
My interest in writing poetry actually first started when the pandemic hit, because it was a survival mechanism in a fragile, fearful, and sometimes frustrating world. Before the pandemic, I bottled up many of my emotions and concerns because I didn't really know how to express them. And especially looking back at my childhood, moving around a lot and being visually impaired, I felt excluded and silenced from my surroundings. But when we were all locked down, I turned inward to find strength, and that's how I started writing. I started loving writing, especially because it allowed me to express my vulnerable identities. I realized that I had the power to create worlds on the page, so I was really drawn to that autonomy of having control over my story, and I haven't stopped writing ever since.
Jessica talked about what poetry has unlocked for her.
I really feel like a transformed person because writing has definitely made me more introspective, but also very outward looking. And especially as one of the nation's Youth Poet Laureate finalists, I really tried to use my voice and activism to create a better world, maybe in my own small ways, but in a way where I can find strength. I think it's really important for everyone to find an identity and voice that they can fight for, because we will all become different people. And for me, poetry has helped unlock that part of myself.
And what she hopes to convey to those who encounter her poetry.
Now more than ever, I see myself addressing societal issues through art and poetry, especially because this year's theme, designated by the Poetry Coalition, is actually disability justice. And as a visually impaired person, I write a lot about either my experiences as a disabled person or just playing with the idea of sight being something different for me compared to most other people. So I guess one thing that I would really love for others to take away from reading my work is kind of how my unique perspective, literally in the way I view things, but also in a more metaphorical sense, is what empowers me and what I try to convey in my poetry.
Here's Jessica Kim reciting her original poem, "The Inferno Leads All the Way to the Sea."
90% of wildfires are caused by humans. National Park Service. In 2020, global sea levels set a new record high. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. There is no escape from burning. Of course, you won't believe me. Blame it on natural causes as if it were some divine intervention. A decade ago, I sat around a campfire watching my father poke at the flames with his matchstick hands, toss the bundles of firewood into the pit, my heart still attached to the timber. I try to say that the fires get worse every year, but I am muffled by the rising smoke, the squirrels and bobcats scurrying for refuge. This is what I mean when my love for all creations is static, immobile, mortal, covered in soot. I'm chasing an end to these fires, leading me to the end of the world where land meets sea. I catch a glimpse of a horizon without a shoreline, wired with asphyxiation, the fish calcified into bullets, drifting into a whale's body. The ocean is permanent, and how ironic it is to watch her eyes clouded by plastic candy wrappers, her hands stained gray with petroleum, her underbelly whitened like bleached corals. Sea levels are rising like never before, and so does my voice, my early morning song for memories spent on shorelines, foam relapsing at my feet. Look, the sun too is rising, and I no longer am the only one here. There are children picking up every cigarette bud and candy wrapper as they hum the aquamarine tunes left by the sea. From afar, the birds return to the reincarnated forest, all the fires burned out. Watch, together we can bring back every inch of our earth.
Our thanks to Jessica Kim for sharing her poetry with us. And now I want to pass the mic to a few more young people. These are the voices of Wake Forest University students. They've been studying with me all semester in a course entitled Race, Sustainability, and Environmental Justice. One thing I can say for sure, these bright, committed, diverse young people sustain my hope for a more equitable and sustainable future.
Hi, my name is Sarita, and I am 21 years old, and to me, environmental justice means understanding the connections between our space and place and how that intersects with our identities and histories and calling for fair treatment and respect.
My name is Janine. I am 19 years old. To me, environmental justice means that everyone, regardless of race, gender, socioeconomic status, etc., lives in a healthy environment. This environment means safe living conditions, such as clean and fresh air, as well as other less obvious components, such as equitable access to healthy food, support, and healthcare.
My name is Kelly, and I'm 22 years old. As a politics major, I believe the demonstrations on Earth Day helped to signal to our representatives in government how important action on environmental issues are to us.
Hi, my name is Gabby, and I'm 22 years old. To me, environmental justice means recognizing the rights of undocumented Latino farm workers and prioritizing a push for better pay, benefits, and working conditions.
Hi, my name is Edna. I'm 21 years old. To me, environmental justice means that everyone, no matter what, has access to a safe and healthy earth.
Hi, my name is Charlotte. I'm 21 years old. And Earth Day matters to me because it is a small start to moving our collective mentality and action toward respect for our planet and all living beings.
And we couldn't close out the show without hearing from some of you, our takeaway community, about what Earth Day means for you.
My name's Tony. I'm from Amarillo, Texas. I'm pretty sure that Earth Day was created by a bunch of tree-hugging, granola-crunching, weed-smoking freaks. But here in flyover country, it's not just a day that we observe. The good Lord gave us this world, and it's up to us to preserve it and to conserve what we have and to maintain this. So here, it's a way of life. It's not just a day.
Tom from Glendale. I remember the scene and the photograph from the Apollo mission when they were looking back at a Earth suspended over this skyline, the way the moon suspends over the Earth, and wondered what the Earth would look like 50 or 100 years from now if we don't take care of climate change. Would it be brown? Would it be more of a burned out planet rather than the one we have now, as lush and wealthy and healthy?
This is Jacob from Bel Air, and when I think of Earth Day, I think of the most complex organic technology that has ever existed. It's what we have arisen out of, and what we will continue with. It's bats, birds, and bees pollinate our crops so that we can eat food. It's weather brings water so that our crops don't die, and so that we don't die of thirst. Every single piece of it has lasted perfectly, with trillions of little creatures and connections that have supported us for a long time. It's about time we support them, don't you think?
Hi, this is Julianne, lifelong resident of Northern Michigan. Earth Day, what do I think of it? I think of it as more lip service
You know, if we look at the world objectively, we see all of these, say, for example, organic food companies who say they're doing good things for people and for the earth. They're trying to save the earth, and yet they package that healthy organic food into plastic, which poisons both us and the earth. Earth Day is simply lip service. It doesn't bring awareness to anyone anymore.
A quick shout out to the team that sustains the takeaway: Zach Bynum, our digital editor; David Gable, our executive assistant; Michelle Liu, our intern; Shanta Covington, our senior planning editor; Ethan Oberman, our senior producer; our producers, Katarina Barton, Deborah Goldstein, and Ryan Wild; our broadcast engineer, Vince Fairchild; and of course, we had Sham Sundra running the boards for us this week; Jay Cowett, our sound designer, director, and editor; Jackie Martin, our line producer; and Wanbo Wu, our executive producer. Thanks so much for being here with us. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway.